You know, hey, thanks for coming. Our vision is to gather together to worship the Lord. Did you worship the Lord this morning? Wow. It was so enjoyable. I just, you know, just kind of went in there. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I got to get the net, you know, think what's next. But it was wonderful to worship the Lord with the help. They're actually, the worship team is called the Ministry of Helps. Think about that. Some of you need help worshiping, and they're the Ministry of Helps because I sound good when they're there, all right? And it also makes it real easy to just step in and enjoy the Lord and close your eyes. I also was sharing with the worship team last week, you actually make it easy to then go and minister the word. It's sort of like they dig up all the ground. I was like, guys, I love you. Thank you so much. You do all the hard work first. I just come in. So if you ever get a chance to see our worship teams, you know, say, hey, that was wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Okay. Here's a riddle. What likes to swim in rice? My cell phone. First, it swam in the potty this morning. Now it's swimming in a bowl of rice. If you need to get hold of me, I still have a landline. 792-2209 or call the church. Now we have a memorial service, a celebration of life service for our dear friend Phyllis Bender. And, you know, if you want to know days and times, go Facebook or 792-2209. All right. And I prayed the prayer of faith with Stacy Clark, and I am going to see what a bowl of rice does. Praise the Lord. Could not. That's my second phone. I've done that too. It's like, really? So, you know, those, what are those things they wear around their neck and they wear your badges on them? What do they call lariats or lanyards? Lanyards. I want one of those so I can clip my cell phone on. I saw one once, and I've never, you know, every once in a while, Google, I can't find them, but I am tired of pulling it out of the potty. Amen. So if you see, I was just doing my business and I was running out the door. So anyway, too much information. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this great day. We just want to praise you that you are our Heavenly Father. And Jesus, we want to praise you that you are seated on the throne next to the Father God as the victorious one, the one who has defeated the enemy for us, the one who paid a price for us that we can come into his throne room today. So we just say, Lord, we are here today with ears open, a heart prepared. Open up and just download your wisdom and your plans and your path for us today as we hear and receive the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Everybody's hearts all ready? Good. Everybody ready to tick the devil off? Wave your Bible. He hates this. He does not like this word. This word is what slapped him all over the place. So you should have these all over your place, okay? And if you drop one in the potty, it's really nice to have a paper one. Okay, so amen. Praise the Lord. So we have started a couple of weeks ago on teaching on the subject of faith. Everybody say faith. Faith. And the first week, I'm just going to give you a quick review. The first week we started talking about once you have received Jesus into your life, life goes different. Once you ask Jesus to be Lord of your life, everything changes. Oh yeah, everything changes. You know, you now don't live the other way. The new way is you live by faith. The new way is you don't live by what everything you see is it. Oh, if I see it, that's it. You don't live by your senses. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you now start walking by faith. We live by faith. And how many of you know, faith pleases God. So who wants to live by faith? Who wants to please your Heavenly Father? Okay, so we're going to live by faith. So that's what we talked about, how important faith is and what it looks like and how we walk by faith. If you weren't there, sign up for the free CDs. They're free, or else go online. Go online and listen to them. Okay, 2 weeks ago, we talked about hope. Hope. And we said, we called it dreams, but we said that God always starts by putting hope in your heart, and then he moves from there. So we were talking about how important it is to have a dream. And really, really what I found out was God puts them in my heart first. God puts these dreams in my heart first. And I apply faith and I watch what God does next. So we talked about dreams. And last week we talked about decisions. Oh my goodness, decisions. And how many of you found out sometimes it's hard to make decisions? Well, I take that back. I make a lot of decisions. Sometimes it's hard to make right decisions. There's God's in the house. Okay? Sometimes it's hard to make right decisions. But listen, when God drops a dream in your heart, and you have you're walking in faith, he will place it in your heart, and he'll help you walk out and step out and continue with these decisions. So faith is important. Decisions are really good. Hey, open up to Exodus. We're going to start with this scripture, Exodus 13. All right? You don't even have to write it down. You can use this for paper to write on. Praise the Lord. Exodus 13. Exodus 13 is about the children of Israel, okay? And they're coming out of bondage after 430 years. 430 years, they're coming out of bondage. And God, the scripture is talking about how God brings them out of bondage and brings them into the promise. All right, so here we go. Exodus 13, 17. I'm going to read this out of the New Living. Exodus 13, verse 17. And we'll read this out of the New Living. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route. Everybody say shortest route. Even though it was the shortest route to the promised land. So when you think about the shortest route, it's the most direct one, right? It's the most direct route, right? And how about it's the nearest route? If you're going to, all right? So I kind of like those. But today what I want to talk about, when you're a follower of Jesus, you're a follower of Jesus, call yourself a Christian, a believer, you're a follower of Jesus, and you start this journey of faith, and you find out that there's a bunch of promises in the Bible for you, okay? This is why this Bible's so vital to have. You find out there's a bunch of promises for you. And then when you find them out, you go, oh my gosh, I want them. I want them in my life. And listen, guys, that's not a bad thing. That's a really good thing. You should want the promises of God in your life. But how many of you have ever been through a season when you saw this promise? God had promises. You saw this promise and you found it in the Bible. And then you prayed and you exercised your faith, and then it just took a long time. Everybody say long time. Has anybody ever done that? Ever had that happen? It's taken a long time. So this is what I want to talk about. The period from the time you pray till it shows up. Okay? This is this. Everybody put your hands up like this. This is what we're going to talk about. This time in the middle. The delay. Anybody ever have some delays? So I want to talk about what this delay is and how you get through it. Wouldn't that be good? Because I've seen people quit, frustrated, and mad because they didn't understand this part. So we're going to get some understanding today. Amen? All right. So the title of the message, I already told you, is Delays. And it's what you do when you feel like, it's taking long. Feel like it's taking long. Now, personally, I hate delays. A year ago, I was flying back from San Francisco to see my daughter Joy. I had a 3-hour delay in an airplane. 1 hour was on the ground. 1 hour stuck in an airplane, and they were not serving Diet Cokes, regulars, and peanuts at that point, okay? And I questioned the AC, all right? So I don't like delays. Alrighty. A week ago, I had a delay in my repairman coming to fix my dishwasher. It was delayed. We did a lot of paper plates. Matter of fact, I had the Cashman clan over for dinner, and I said, we're having paper plates because there is a delay going on. I was really not too happy, all right? So I want to tell you a story about a delay because this is what we're going to talk about. This is this part, the delay. Several years ago, we're on a road trip, one of those 10-hour road trips. And we finally made it through Washington, D.C. I just don't like getting around there. So we made it past Washington, D.C. area, got a car load, and all of a sudden the cars in front of me start slowing down, slowing down, slowing down. So right away, I'm thinking, how can I get off of this road? Anybody do that? All right. All right. So next thing I know, we stop. We are stopped in traffic. Everybody in front of me stopped. Everybody behind me stopped. We are stopped. Now, the first 5 minutes, that was fun. We're just talking. We whip out the candy bars and the granola bars and all the snacks that were supposed to take us for this long trip. That was okay. 10 minutes later, I'm beginning to get a little perturbed, all right? 10 more minutes, I'm looking, how do I get out of this? I look over here and there's a cliff. Okay, that's not going to work. Then I look over here and there's the side of the mountain. Oh my gosh, we are stuck. I'm stuck. Okay, an hour and a half goes. No joke. We didn't move. I have a car full of girls. And I won't tell you if those Starbucks coffee cups were helpful. I'm not telling you, okay? Not telling you. Don't ask. Okay. So isn't it interesting? We don't like delays. Anybody like delays? Delays in your life? Delays in the repairman? Now, the worst thing that you can do when you have a delay is try to make something happen. So I'll tell you another story about me. This is years ago when I had a minivan. I went through two minivans, okay? This is my minivan, my second one, so ought to know. But one time there was traffic. I was like, oh my gosh, this delay in my life. So I decided I'll just do a little jeeping. So I go over the curb and cut out of the traffic. But the problem was I wasn't in a Jeep. I was in a minivan. And the next day I was at the repair shop. Because I must have hit something on the bottom of that car. My mechanic was going, what in tarnation did you do? Well, there was a delay in traffic. And so sometimes when we're in a delay, we actually try to do things that's really not good. All right? They're really not good. And, you know, one of the things that we do is we think when we're in a delay, now not driving, okay? You're a believer. You found a promise of God. You've prayed it in faith. And you're in this delay part until it happens. You're in the delay part, all right? One of the things that we do, we think, God's gone fishing. He must be on vacation. What is with him? All right? Have anybody done that? Like, what's the matter with God? All right, the other one is we think, I'm telling you, we think a delay is a denial. We think that when I'm stuck in a delay, God's denying me stuff. Now, any of you that know the character of God, God is good all the time. So yeah, but we got some dumb thinking going on. So sometimes we think when I'm in this in-between place, I'm in this denial, in the delay, I think I'm in denial. But that's not true, all right? It's pretty dumb thinking. And I've had a few days like that. So now the truth of the matter is, do you know what's happening in this place? God's working. Everybody say, God's working. Listen, guys, in this place, know that God's working. And it's called working behind the scenes. And most of the time, I don't know what he's doing. All right? I don't always know what he's doing. But God's working. And the in-between and the delay, write that down. My God is working. All right? So, y'all come to a church, this particular church, and I know a whole bunch more. We believe God has promises for you. And you can Google this, because I did. There are over 3,500 promises from cover to cover that God has for you. That's a lot. 3,500 plus promises that God has for you. All right? Now, look over at 2 Corinthians 1:20. This will give you a little perspective about this promise and this place, this in-between place, this in-between time. 2 Corinthians 1:20. All right? So if God's got over 3,500 promises in the Bible, I would bet that he has a promise for anybody in any situation. Because that's a lot of promises, right? Over 3,500 plus promises. I would bet that he's got a promise for you today for whatever you're going through. Amen. Amen, Pastor D. I'm looking. All right, everybody over at 2 Corinthians 1:20. It says, for all the promises of God in him are yes. You should be shouting. For all the promises of God are yes. And in him, amen. All right? To the glory of God. So what does that mean? Well, all these promises are yes for you. That means there's never a no. Oh, I got a thing about redheads today. They don't get any of them. Nope, they're not. No. All the promises of God are yes. So in a delay, this in-between part from the time as a believer you pray, you see a promise in faith and you go, Lord, I want that. And you're in between. There's no no's. There's no no's. It's only yeses. God wants to bless. God's got yeses in there. Okay? So now I'm gonna tilt you over a little bit. Let's suppose somebody is sitting here this morning and you have decided to pray for $1 million. Okay? Because you know, Lord, I prayed in faith. I'm believing for $1 million because I can do this and I can do this and I can do this. Okay, but what if God knows $1 million would probably ruin your life? What if God knows everything? Anybody think he knows a little bit? Well, he just knows a little bit, right? He knows where my keys are that I can't find. No, listen, God knows everything. And what if he knows that you are not ready for that $1 million? Do you remember the show, Move That Bus? What was that called? The TV show? Extreme Home Makeovers. They found out. They go these extreme makeovers on houses, big, grand, and glorious. And they went back and they found those people about 3 years later. And they couldn't handle it. Actually, financially, they couldn't handle it. They didn't have the money for it. So listen, God knows a whole lot. And sometimes, when you're in this in-between place, you just need to know that God knows. God knows, all right? And, you know, most of the time I want to go, where, Dolores? Seriously, God? Seriously? Okay, you got to back up. God knows everything, and sometimes he knows what's best. Now, I'm not talking about the promises for healing. They're always there, yes. There's no delays. That's our God, all right? But I'm talking about things sometimes. And you're like, really? Really? Well, yeah, really, really. Okay, so sometimes it takes time. And most of the time, you know what I found out? God's working on me. God was working on me. All right, now, let me give you an example because some of you are thinking, I thought faith is now, Pastor D. What? Come on. I thought you were preaching on faith. Okay, let me give you an example. How many of you guys remember the guy Abraham? Hey, anybody know about Abraham? Okay, Abraham's called the father of our faith. All right? He's called the father of our faith. He's called, and matter of fact, we are told that we're supposed to follow his example. Right? That's the story about Abraham, okay? Now, God comes to Abraham when he's about 75 years of age, and he says, hey, Abe, I am going to give you a child, and you're going to be the father of many nations. Everybody know that? Right? Okay, now, here's the deal. this part here, 25 years. Okay? God came to Abe and he said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a child. All right? Over here. But until that child showed up, 25 years. All right? Now, most of us, if you're 75 years of age, raise your hand. No, don't raise your hand if you're 75 years of age. Most of us, I'd say, forget it. Pass it over to Tom. He can have them. Because we're golfing. We're retired. But not Abraham. He wanted this. So Abraham stayed in faith. But what happened? 25 years later, the promise. All right, now, some of you sit in this place, this in-between place, and you're quitting. You're quitting. All right. Well, anybody know somebody who's quitting? Not us, right? All right. Okay. All because 3 months have gone by. How about some of you are ready to quit because, gee whiz, 3 months have gone by since that preacher gave me a word. He said that this was going to happen in my life, and now you're mad at the preacher and you're mad at God. Anybody know that somebody that did that? Not me. Yeah, right. Jeez. Okay. Now, remember the scriptures that we just read in Exodus? The children of Israel, they had a big in-between time, didn't they? Right? It was 40 years. 40 years what they were in the in-between, the delay. So, anybody get frustrated in the in-between? Did you think Abraham might have gotten a little frustrated? Do you think? I was like, yeah, I think I would be. So a lot of times we get frustrated. And, you know, probably I think about the age that we live in. We got instant oatmeal, instant grits, Mac machines. Instant, okay? I think because of the age that we live in, that as soon as we get into the delay, the in-between, we think something's the matter with God. What is God's problem? I really do. Or we think something, you know, it didn't happen overnight. There's something wrong. Okay. Can you imagine Abraham? Okay. The in-between. All right. Now, if you're here and you've lost hope and you're discouraged, I want to encourage you today in this in-between time. Know that you have a God who loves you. He doesn't want you discouraged. He wants you to stay in faith, trust in Him, believe in the promises, all right? Because He does finish what He starts. He does. Amen? All right, now, before I want to talk about what we do when we're in the in-between time. I want to talk about what we do when we're in this in-between. But before we do that, I need to show you some things in the Bible so you understand things about God. I was talking to somebody this week, and we were talking, it's really the character of God. You need to understand some things about God so you can stay in this place and not quit. Okay, how many of you have heard of Eastern Standard Time, Central Standard Time, Pacific Time? They are all time zones, right? They're time zones. Well, number one, write this down. God has a different time zone oftentimes than you. God has a different time zone oftentimes than you. Anybody? I used to go, does he not wear a watch? You know, I try to make a joke out of it because it just bothered me when I was in this place, all right? So things you need to know. God's time zone is different. So what do I mean? Look over at 2 Peter 3:8. 2 Peter 3:8. Beloved, do not forget this one thing. With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years. Bummer! What? Okay, that's the Cashman version here. Okay, with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So what's that mean? You know what I found out? God's schedule oftentimes is different than mine. All right, you need to know that. You need to understand that. Instead of getting anxious, anybody ever get anxious and get irritable and you want it right now? And then, you know, it happens if this time goes 3 days longer, we lose heart. Okay, but that's it. So number one, God's time zone might be a whole lot different than yours. Number two, God's perspective is different than yours. Oh, let me back up. So from the time I'm a believer, I dig in my Bible, I find I have a problem and I find a promise and I pray in faith and I'm waiting. Okay, this is the given if you're a believer. Every single person, once you're a believer, this is the Bible basic 101. This is the given that you ought to be doing. Everybody say, this is the given. This is the given that you should be doing. Number one, you should be putting the Word of God in you. All right? Because you won't make it in here. So number one, what are you doing? You're putting the Word of God in you. And then the second thing that happens, after you put the Word of God in you, the Word of God will come out of you. Okay, Pastor D, what are you talking about? Okay, well, first, you need to be putting the Word of God in you. And I know I sound like a broken record. You need to do that every day. There are some days I have to do it 3 times a day. But every day I'm putting the Word of God in me. So that means I'm reading my Bible. That means I'm coming to church so I can hear some more. That means I'm going to go to a grow group with people, and then I'm going to hear some more because I'm going to keep putting the Word of God in me. I'm going to put the Word of God. That's a given. Everybody say that's a given. All right. Now, also, it needs to be coming out of you. It needs to be coming out of you. Okay. Can I give you a gross example? When you eat food, it comes in this way, but it goes out a different way. Right? All right. So you're getting food, the Word of God in you, but it's going to come out different. It's going to come out by your words of your mouth. It'll come out of the words of your mouth. That's not the gross part, right? Comes out of your mouth, all right? And guys, it comes out by you speaking the Word. So I've put it in me, but it also has to be coming out of you. You have to be speaking it. By the way, that's what faith is. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is what you speak, all right? So, number one, you have to put it in you, and number two, it also has to come out of you. So let's say I got up this morning, and I've had time in the Word, and I go to the Lord, and I say, Father God, I thank you that you are moving in my family. I thank you, Father, for your protection in my family. I thank you, Father, that my family has favor, and they're blessed in everything they set their hand to. And then the day goes by and you see some goofy thing on TV and you're like, I don't know if my kids are protected at school. They just had a shooting at, you know, a couple states away. Look what just came out of my mouth. Okay. So you have to watch what comes out. Yeah, put it in. Baby, you better be putting it in. Because if you don't put anything in, I want to tell you what comes flying out. But you need to be putting it in, and then you need to be speaking it out. Speaking it out, okay? All right, now, that was number one. God's time zone is different. Number two, God's perspective is different. How many of you should know, or how many of you know that God knows everything? And you sometimes know a little bit. How many of you know that God sees everything? And sometimes I don't see it all. It's sort of like I'm coming around the mountain here. I'm coming in around the mountain. This way, I'm coming around the mountain. I can only see this part, right? I only see a part. But God, He sees it all. God's perspective is a whole lot bigger, all right? He sees everything. So you're asking God for certain things, right? And you're in this place, this in-between, in this delay. You need to remember that He sees it all. And you are only seeing a little bit. And you just need to stay in faith. In this place, just stay in faith, okay? So let's say you're asking God for a house. You know, you've been in this house forever, and now we have 25 little kids in our house, and God, we need a bigger house. So we've agreed, we prayed, we thank you for it, Lord. And then maybe something happens and you don't get that house, all right? How about, you got to remember, God's perspective is bigger. You only see this little part. All right. And then you have a meltdown. I can't believe I didn't get the house. But maybe God's saying, Hey, honey, just hang in there. Just a little bit farther down the road, I got the big house. All right. So you need to remember God's perspective is so much greater than yours. And stay in faith. Stay in the word. Stay saying it. All right. So number three, the last one on this, God processes things differently. God processes things differently. You know what I found out? I want everything quick. And I found out a lot of the time, God doesn't do quick. He does quality. Write that one down. That should be on your refrigerator when you're stuck in here. God is doing quality while I'm in here. God is doing quality while I'm in here. Okay? So what do you do? Stick with God. All right. Now, does anybody know, of course, it's not your spouse, all right? So don't go knocking them. But does anybody know someone who's a hardhead, hard-headed? Yeah. Mark, I didn't say knucklehead. Mark and I always go knuckleheads, right? But a hardhead. You know what? A thing about a hardhead, when God's dealing with them, a hardhead, it's going to take God a little bit more time. Because they're hard-headed. So God's perspective, because of us, might take some time. It's God's perspective because of us. God's perspective, you know, he's going to do a quality work, but it might take some more time because we're hard-headed. So don't go confessing, I'm a hard-head. Praise the Lord, Pastor D, I'm such a hard-head. That's not a good thing, all right? Now, remember what's the given? Given. Soon as you get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you better be, or I'm after you, be putting the word of God in you. Putting the word of God in you so that it'll be coming out of you. So that it's coming out of you. Now, I said this before. Sometimes when you're stuck in the delay, it gets a little frustrating, doesn't it? Anybody get frustrated when you're here and you're going, all right, Lord, it's been 30 days. What is going on? I get frustrated, all right? But listen, some of you, it's only been 30 days. It's not 30 years. And you need to know your God, all right? Stay in faith. And he'll take you through. That's called faith. That's called trusting him. Amen. All right, now, this is really what I wanted to get to. What do you do when you're believing God and you're stuck in this middle, this delayed time? You're over here and you're in this delay. What do you do? What do you do? Well, that's a good one. Okay, I'll make that number five on my list. Okay, but number one, don't be afraid. All right. Don't be afraid. All right. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is actually the biggest opposition for you moving in faith. When you get into fear, you're not moving in faith. Right. So fear. Don't get into fear. All righty. Now, everyone say, fear not. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am the Lord. I'm with you. Fear not. Because I'm the Lord that's with you. So why don't you fear? Because God's with me. All right? So why don't we fear? Because I've got a relationship with the Most High God, the maker of heaven and earth, the God that split the Red Seas. What, are you kidding me? Fear? He goes before me. He surrounds me. Yeah. Okay, but so number one, when you're in this in-between time, from the time you pray till this shows up, fear not. Don't get into fear. Okay, now listen, I'm telling you, it's easy to get into fear, all right? Watch the news. Maybe you're one of those people that's up on everything that's going on all over the world. I'm not. I call you up and say, what's going on, all right? But, you know, or listen, you start thinking about ISIS. You can get easily into fear. You can jump over here, all right? But the Bible says, fear not. Fear not. I'm with you. Okay, so fear not. Number one, fear not. Now, if you decide to live in fear, guess what? Nothing happens. You ever hear the expression, scared stiff? Okay, if you're in fear, I can tell you, nothing's happened. Okay, how about these people that are afraid to get in elevators? Okay, they're scared stiff. Fear will just... it'll paralyze you. Afraid to be in airplanes. Oh, I have a good friend. We drug her to get her on the airplane. But she's petrified to get on airplanes until we drugged her. But anyway, you know what happens, though? It's real interesting. Statistically, there are more accidents in cars than there are in airplanes. And you get a Diet Coke and the bathroom's in the back. Why would you get in fear? Oh, that's because when I'm in the car, I'm in control. Yeah, it's a control thing. And when I'm in that Big Bird, they're in control. Yeah. I have to do that with me sometimes. I'm like, who's in control? Okay, so let me say this. Are you going to let fear grip your heart? Are you going to let fear grip your heart? Are you going to let fear grip your heart and then do nothing? I'm not. Listen, God has great plans for you. He's got great things for you to experience. But if you're scared stiff, you're not going to experience them. So don't get in fear. Okay, number one, don't get in fear. Number two, what do you do when you're in between time? Don't worry. Okay, BFFs, fear and worry. They are best friends. They go together all the time. Fear and worry. All right. Now, how many of you know some people that they are the queen? I usually think girls, but sometimes guys. They're the king of worrying. Anybody know people? That's their profession. They just do it so well. That's what I'm called to do. Worry, 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 worry. All right. Now, usually they don't know it, but anybody around them going, oh man, they just worry. Okay. Now, Jesus said, you're never to worry. He says, don't worry. It's not going to add 1 inch to your height. So why the heck are you worrying? All right. It's not going to help you. So when your teen comes home, excuse me, better yet, when your teen is not home at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're up and you're looking out the window and you're trying to call everybody and you're just frantic, your worrying didn't make the situation better and it didn't make it worse. It didn't make it better for your teen worrying. It didn't make it worse. Matter of fact, it's got a negative effect. Worrying has a negative effect. All right. It makes you look terrible in the morning because you're up all night. Right? You can become grouchy. Your blood pressure might go off the roof. All right. So it has and you know, the worst part is it takes you out of faith and puts you into fear and you're frozen. All right. So worry has a negative effect. Amen. Not fun. So what do you do? What do you do when worrying's trying to grab you? You pray. You pray the promise. Okay? You pray the promise. And then you turn out the lights. I go downstairs and check one more time. Okay, but then you go upstairs and you turn out the lights and you go to sleep. Because you're in faith that the Most High God has got it. Oh, that's right, God's got it. Oh, that's right, God's got it. And you go to bed. All right, so you're not to worry. Trust God. Amen. All righty, number three. When you're in the in-between time and it looks like a delay, what should you do? Well, number three, you don't get discouraged. You don't get discouraged. You don't get discouraged. All right? So look at Galatians 6. Galatians 6, 9. What do you do when you're in between and it looks like nothing's happening? Don't get discouraged. You know, this is so wonderful about having a prayer partner or a spouse. They should be able to look and read you and go, oh, honey, it's okay. Don't get discouraged. Come on, honey. Don't worry about this. All right? So don't get discouraged. Galatians 6, 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. By the way, the moment you pray the prayer, are you weary? No. You just prayed it. Okay, about 3 months later, as time's gone by, are you weary? That's when weary tries to kick in, okay? Weary tries to kick in as time goes, like you're in the time, all right? So let me read that again. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you do not faint. Underline, do not faint. The word do not faint means to give up, lose heart, and get discouraged. All right. Now, if you don't get discouraged, what's going to happen? You're going to reap the harvest. You're going to get the blessing. You're going to have the reward if you don't get discouraged. All right. If you don't get discouraged. So don't get discouraged. How do you not get discouraged? Well, close your eyes. You're entering the throne room of God. You're going to not only is he the Most High God, you're going to go into the presence of your Father. And he's here. When you go in there, he's there to encourage you. And he's going to say, hey, baby, I know things have really been hard. I know this has been really tough here and the challenges are just off the chart. But hey, baby, that's who talks to me. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. I'm your Father. Don't give up. All right. So what do I do when I get these? Listen, I've gotten discouraged and I'm sure I'll have an opportunity. I run to God. God, it's okay to stay where you're at. God, I'm a little discouraged here. All right. You don't have to put on the act. I'm just doing so wonderful. You go to your Heavenly Father, tell him, God, I'm discouraged. And he says, don't give up. I got this. I got this, all right? Yeah. Now, instead of being discouraged, again, you pray. Instead of being discouraged, you pray. And Jesus said in Luke 18:1, and then he spoke a parable that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Okay, this is the red letter stuff. This is Jesus telling you that when you have... You feel like you're going to lose heart. You're going to be discouraged. You're faint. You quit. Okay. You ought to pray. You ought to pray. Okay. Now I'm a good one. Well, what kind of prayer am I supposed to pray? Hail Mary, full of grace. Okay. I found out that one didn't work. All right. How about the one, God, you know, the 2-year-old tantrum and at the checkout with the candy aisle. God, bam, 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 God, you got to do this, God, I told you, God, is that the kind of praying you're supposed to do? No. Okay, the kind of praying you're supposed to be doing is after you have found the promise and you have spoken the promise, you go into the throne and it's more of a thanksgiving. It's a fellowshipping with God. Sherry actually touched on that today. It's a fellowshipping with God. Father God, just want to tell you how wonderful you are. I'm so thankful that you got it. And you know what happens when you're in the presence of God? You get to draw on his strength. You get to draw on his strength. I always exit better than I entered. I always exit the throne, my prayer time, a whole lot better. And you know why? Because I'm going to draw from the Lord. You know why? I'm going to draw strength from him because I'm discouraged. So I'm just going to just chuck the discouragement out and say, God, I thank you. I thank you for your strength. I thank you that I'm not going to quit. I thank you that you are going to hold me up and bring me through and I will see it. All right. So that's what happens. That's the kind of prayer, not try to wear God out. Do you think you can wear God out? It's so silly. All right. So what do you do when you're believing God for a promise? Well, I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm going to trust him. Amen. Last one. Here we go. Last one. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget God. Turn over to Psalm 106. Where am I? Psalm 106:7-8. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. He's talking to God, okay? They did not remember. Did not remember. They did not remember. Underline that. The multitudes of your mercy, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Verse 8. Nevertheless, he saved them. God saved them, all right? God saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. Now jump down to verse 13. And soon they forgot his works. All right. Here you got this bunch of Israelites. And God has just brought them through the Red Sea. Brought them out of a horrible place in Egypt. Fed them. Took care of them. And it says, and they forgot him. And they forgot him. You know, sometimes we're like that. We sang a song similar to this. Sometimes what you do is you start remembering what God's done. And this is me every time. Anybody who ever joins me in prayer, I do this every single time. Father God, I thank you that you went after me and you saved me. I thank you that I'm your daughter. I thank you that I am your child. I thank you that I am more than a conqueror. I thank you, Lord, that I can come to you anytime. I start remembering. I start remembering. And then I start going off the charts of all the things the Lord has done in my life. All right. Start remembering all the things that the Lord has done. All right. So, and you know what? After I get halfway through there, I'm like, oh my gosh, my God's so faithful. Just look at all the stuff he's done. But if you get to the, I forgot, and you don't go in, I'm remembering, you're going to quit. You'll be in this place and you'll quit. And what happens if right over the edge is where it pops up, all right? All because you forgot who your God was, and you forgot what he's done, that he's faithful, all right? So never quit. And you know what? This is what I love about God. Even when I forget, and I'm having my two-year-old tantrum in front of the candy aisle, and I forgot, you know what? God is so patient with me. Everybody say, God is patient. He is patient when I'm in here and I've made a mess of this part. Anybody ever make a mess in the in-between time? In the delay time? All right? God is patient. All right? So let's suppose you've found out these great and precious promises and you've picked this one because it is the need of your life. And you've prayed this prayer and now you're in the wait. The delay, all right? But you got into fear. You got into worry. You got into all that stuff, all right? Well, guess what? God's patient with you. It's okay. God's patient with you. He's going to go like, come on, it's okay. It's okay, all right? And you know what I found out? I've made a whole lot of messes. I have quit on a whole lot of things. I have cried. I look like a big fat baby. But you know what? God has never quit on me. It's amazing. No, it isn't. That's who our God is. He never quits. So when you get stuck, when you're stuck, just pick yourself back up. And God's like, it's okay. It's okay. Come on. I know. Come on in here. Okay, I'm going to read you one more scripture. It's 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter, and then we're done here. Here we go. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Yay! The Lord is not slack. He's not a slacker. Okay? Concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long suffering towards us. Everybody say long suffering. That's what God is. Now, long suffering, we use the word patience, right? So the Lord is patience, long suffering. But my friend, Pastor Mike, says this, the Lord is good at putting up with you. Has anybody ever had to put up with somebody? Oh yeah. I mean, it could be a child. It could be, we won't fill in the rest, right? All right. And sometimes we have short fuses in what we're supposed to be long suffering. Anybody have a short fuse and you're like, that's it. I'm done with it. Uh-huh. All right. Now, but God is long suffering with us. He puts up. He's long suffering. He's patient. Isn't that wonderful? Now, listen, I have had patience run out. I have had patience run out, especially when I'm in a delay. And I go, seriously? A delay again? All right. And then that's it. All right. But God, your Father God, is long suffering. He's patient. He will put up because he loves you. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. All right. So has anybody ever felt like you wanted to quit in the delay? Has anybody ever gotten tired waiting in this place? Well, listen, just keep going. All right, go into the throne room of God and say, God, you're my Father. You have promises, and all the promises are yes and amen. Sorry about that. Okay, but don't jump in there and quit. Like you get into this place, just don't jump out and quit. Stay in there. All right. So I'm going to give you homework. All right. Everybody gets a homework assignment because I used to be a teacher. It's on the bottom of your page. Read it. Here we go. Get your focus back on him. All right. How many of you remember the story of Peter walking on the water? I love doing that. That is like the funnest one to do with kids downstairs. We get all dramatic and we walk on water and then we sink and all that great stuff. Okay. But Peter was walking on the water, but then he took his focus off of who? And the promise. All right. He took his focus off of Jesus. He got his eyes on something wrong. Got his eyes on the wind. And what happened? He started to sink. All right. Now you may be feeling like you're sinking in this in-between place where you're standing. You're in faith, but you feel like you're sinking. Well, maybe it's time to get your focus, get your eyes back on God, get your eyes back on the promise, get your eyes back on the one who's always faithful. Okay, now, cool part. So Peter's walking on the water. He loses his focus. And what does Jesus do? But Jesus grabs him, pulls him up, makes him safe. Listen, guys, that's our God. That's our God. He will take hold of you. You think you're sinking? Just go, Jesus! And he will grab you and bring you onto a safe place. And then, while you're in there, that's okay. I don't care. My God is so good. He's so faithful. So, this week, you got to get quiet. And think about some of those promises. Maybe you're going to have a promise that starts today, but how about a promise that you've been standing on for 10 years? Actually, there's a promise that I've been sort of not really too good standing on for 30 years. And I realized as I was preparing this is I quit. It used to be taped on my refrigerator, this picture and what the promise was. And then I was cleaning the refrigerator, so I took it off, and then it ended up in my Bible in the back, and then I switched Bibles, and I don't even know where it is. And the Lord said, Dee, what are my great and precious promises that I am well able? And I knew what he was saying. So you get quiet this week, and you think about the promises. They're all yes and amen, and get out of fear. How do you get out of fear? Man, I look at Jesus. How do you get out of worry? I look at Jesus. How do you get out of discouragement? Man, I look at him. Matter of fact, I am going to walk nose to nose with him. I am going to walk nose to nose with him that I can't even get out of focus. All right? So that's your homework. Because guys, when you're in between, you know that your God's got you. All right. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are our Father. You are always good. You are always faithful. I thank you, Father, that this word encourages us to stand strong on the in-between and not quit, not get into fear. I thank you, Father, that we stand and we're not going to be frustrated. We stand, Father, and we will give you, and we continue to give you all the glory and the honor for the great things you've done and you continue to do in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, everybody, heads closed. Yeah, close your head. Close your eyes, bow your head. Sorry about that. If you're here today and listen, you've heard about promises, but the greatest promise that you can ever have is receiving the Son, is receiving Jesus. So if you're here and you've never made a decision to ask Jesus to be Lord of your life, let him lead. If you're here and you've got, Lord, I'm in a mess. I'm not sure you can fix it. Let me tell you, he can fix it. He can make life better. But life gets better only when you've asked him into your heart. And he is so good all the time. So if you're here and you'd say, Pastor D, I've never asked Jesus to be Lord of my life. I've never been a follower. And I see And I know that I want that. If you raise your hand, I'm going to pray for you. Or if you're here and you'd say, you know, Pastor D, I did that. Yep, I did that. But you know what? I have not walked with you. I've let go. I've gotten angry. I've gotten mad. I've just plain old forgot that you're my God. Jesus is my Savior and Lord. And you know what I'll tell you? Today's a good day to come home. I'd love to pray for you. If there's anybody here that you've never received Jesus or you'd like to come on home, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? You just raise your hand. No one's going to drag you and throw you up here, okay? Praise the Lord. Is there anybody? Just take a little quiet here. All right. Well, praise God. You can look up here. Everybody say, bounce house. Saturday, we got a bounce house coming here, and we are not only going to bounce, but we're going to be a light. We're going to be a light, and I know you got it. I said, everybody pray 15 minutes every day for this neighborhood and all the people that God would draw, that their eyes would be open, their hearts would be prepared, that they'd see the light, and they'd let us speak into them. So we are really not anxious in a bad way, but we're excited and just can't wait for Saturday. Also, weather. Jesus, I thank you for nice weather. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Stand up. Matt. Matt has a testimony. Stand up. Matt came to me, and actually it just goes inside. Stand. Come on. Some of you need to stand. Matt's on the blue mic. Is we good to go? All right. This is Matt Forey.
Hey, everybody.
He's a brother in Christ, and he does a whole bunch of other things here.
I'm terrible with these.
You're good.
Right here. Okay. I do a lot of listening to Word FM, and on my way here, they do their little things where they just speak about some things, and a guy came on the radio, and he said about how when you do something wrong or whatever, and just under your breath, you're like, oh, I'm so dumb, and whatever. You're just all these things under your breath. And then he said, over your shoulder, you'll just hear one thing, and it's Jesus. And he says, beloved. Because if it's coming from Jesus, that's what it is. So if you hear something else, it's not him. So just remember that you are his beloved. And I just felt that I should share that. So.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, man. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. You are the head and not the tail, but above and not beneath. You are blessed going in, and now you are blessed going out. Praise the Lord. Have a wonderful week. The memorial service for Phyllis Bender is tomorrow morning, Monday morning here at YCF at 10 a.m.